Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm your host, Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, a boutique firm that is home to over 30 real estate sales and marketing agents who service home buyers and home sellers throughout Boston, the South Shore, the South Coast, and Cape Cod. Our firm takes pride in assisting our clients in the next chapter of their lives by taking a holistic approach to their real estate endeavors. We believe that every move should be a moving experience. Every week, my co-host Melissa Wallace and I will provide you with my team's unique marketing approach to selling homes and share with you our expertise in navigating the home buying process. We value the experience of our agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so much that not only will you hear my perspective on real estate topics, occasionally you will hear the expert thoughts and opinions of our experienced agents at Boston Connect Real Estate. Be a part of our roundtable. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you'd like to listen to podcasts at Talk Real Estate Roundtable. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me and my team to discuss your real estate needs, you can connect with me at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate.
And hello to all our South Shore neighbors. You are listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable. My name is Melissa Wallace, and I'm sorry for my voice. I'm getting over a cold, but I promise I can go through the show. I am here live in studio with the one and only Sharon McNamara, who's the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are live, not just on WATD this morning, but we're live on YouTube as well, so be sure to follow us on YouTube, Boston Connect Real Estate, and we're live on Facebook too, so if you follow us on social media, Boston Connect Real Estate on there as well, Sharon Costa McNamara, we're sharing to all of the Connect pages, but yeah, we are going to be sort of continuing and probably ending our discussion on the NAR settlement. This will be our third show explaining this and sort of going over what it means right now, what it means for the future, or what it could mean. Again, nothing has changed right in the moment, but we like to be sort of ahead of the times and sort of figure out exactly what it is things are going to be happening in the future. So we, I think, have Tim, right? Tim in the studio.
Yes. WATD. Hello. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. So we are going to be taking callers as well. So if you have any questions or you want to join in on the discussion, you can call Tim at WATD at 781-837-4900. And you can also text. So again, it is 781-837-4900. I will say that we're having a quite a sweet morning here at Boston Connect Real Estate. So we have been having actually Emmy Flaherty, who is a full-time realtor here at Boston Connect Real Estate. She is also here in the background, so I don't know if she can wave or hi. Say hi. She says hi, everyone. She invited Hardly Saints Donuts here to Boston Connect Real Estate, and it is quite the buzz of the town. Okay? I'm like going places at night or like other days. They've been coming on Friday mornings, and people are saying, what's going on with the donuts? You know, why couldn't I get a donut? And I'm like, they sell out so fast. So they're here this morning as well. Hardly Saints Donuts. I have a little sticky note. This is something that they gave
you. Yeah. So I asked them if she could tell me a little bit about who they were and everything. And again, Emmy was, you know, invited them to come, you know, use our driveway and stuff so they could sell some donuts. And
they're like, so good.
Like Mark was here last Friday and he was like, yeah, I was going to go get a donut. And he got in it, like, we're sold out. But I was talking to one of the owners this morning. Unfortunately, she didn't put her name on this. So if Emmy can hear us, she can come in here. But it's Hardly Saint Donuts, and they're a small business. And he's a veteran. And that makes me even love them more.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that part. So it's a husband and wife team. He's a veteran. She did tell me he was in one of the wars. So I appreciate him and his service. It's very, very nice of them to, you know, give give that part of their life to our country to make it better. So, but they operate out of a vintage food trailer, and they sell homemade donuts and fresh coffee. You can follow them on Instagram, Hardly Saints Donuts, to see where they'll be next. And I know that they're here on Fridays. I don't know if they'll be here every Saturday, but they're welcome to be. If you're in the area, we're right across the street from Stop and Shop in Pembroke Center. It's 19 Mattakesett Street. You'll see our sign, Boston Connect Real Estate. What I love about having them here and doing a lot of the other events that we do at the office is we love to keep it hyper local. We love small businesses. We love to support small businesses. Obviously, both Emmy, not obviously, but both Emmy and I are on the Chamber of Commerce here in Pembroke, right? Chamber of Commerce, yeah, Chamber. And
yes, you're part of that.
Yeah, we're part of that.
You're part of so many things that it's hard to keep it all in track.
I know, but they're all sort of coming to an end, actually. Master plan is coming to an end, and the public safety building is coming to an end, but all good things. So if you want some yummy donuts, Hardly Saints Donuts, I bought some myself, and she was sweet, and I was like, I want a donut, like I haven't gotten any, and she's like, okay. And I had $10. I put it in my pocket this morning because I was going to run out there whether we were live or not. And she's like, you don't have to pay. I go, rule number one in owning a small business, nobody gets it for free.
Nobody gets it for free.
Nobody gets it for free. So I gave her my money, and she gave us some delicious looking donuts. Yeah, Tim, I'm going to text you what these donuts look like.
They're so good. The lemon.
You know, I'm checking really out the website too. Yeah. If you go to hardlysaints.com, this pre-order's open, and it tells you this weekend where they're going to be. They're at Boston Connect today, and tomorrow they're going to be at Vitamin C, that's SEA Brewing in Weymouth.
So check
them out.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, nothing like a brew and a donut.
Absolutely.
That's nice.
Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. Emmy did say that they got a bigger mixer so they don't sell out fast because they were selling out in like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's too fast. That's way too fast.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can buy them by the dozen too, so you can pre-order dozens wherever they're going to be. And my mouth is literally watering right now looking at these donuts.
Get a napkin.
Seriously. No, they're delicious, and it's cute. Julia will come to work early on Fridays and get in line and get us donuts. She's like, I got us another like half dozen.
Oh, you've tried them?
Yeah.
I haven't tried them.
This is probably the fourth time.
No. Look at you stuttering on your words right now. You just got caught. You haven't saved me a donut.
You know, I was wondering where my donut was, too, but I know that we're a little far from Pembroke, so.
You know, guess what, Sharon? You have six right in front of you. You can have them all to yourself and make up for some time.
I could not eat all of those, but I do want to taste a little bit of each. And, again, it's Hardly Saints Donuts, and they are here this morning, 19 Mattakesett Street. Our office is right across the street from Stop and Shop right in Pembroke Center. And Emmy Flaherty is here today. And if you are interested in having a donut and some coffee, she is also going to give you a tour through our office so you can see what our live studio looks like. So you can do that. You have to act like it's a museum, though. You have to be very, very quiet.
And don't touch anything.
We won't let them into the studio. They can walk by the studio.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Just wave and walk. Yep.
Yeah. No tripping over our wires and
please,
disconnecting us.
No,
Tim. No. We don't need that this morning. So, so great. So, again, join us on YouTube. You can probably find us on Facebook and all those great things. We're going to get right into it this morning. I do just want to just put out sort of a little bit of a public apology. Last week, we had a little bit of some craziness that was going on, and we ultimately figured it out. I didn't push a button that I was supposed to. So, hey, that's the way it goes.
That's life.
Life happens. I'm sorry about that. But we did get some feedback that perhaps we were unprofessional.
Yeah.
So, to that listener.
For the first part of the show.
To that listener, I am sorry for, being on the show for 18 years, doing a radio show for 18 years. We had a little flub last week, and I'm sorry about that. But to err is human.
What? What does that mean?
Did you ever hear that? To err is human.
Yes.
E-R-R, right?
Yes, that's right.
Never heard of it. Yeah. But I'm sure it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. Let's do a recap.
So. Yeah. So recap on the past
week
two
one.
Shows. Yeah. Okay. So week one, what would you say was your biggest takeaway from week one?
So for week one, I gave a little synopsis of what is a real estate agent, what is a realtor, and just sort of went through the differences. Okay. So again, this is about the NAR settlement, which is the National Association of Realtors, and we are a realtor office. So everybody in, you know, when you get your license in Massachusetts, you're a real estate agent. I don't know how else to say it. You're a salesperson. I have two licenses. So I was a salesperson. Then I went for my broker license, right? So you have to be in the business for so many years. You have to do more classes, and then you can take the test above that to become a broker. So I am a broker. Regardless if I am part of the National Association of Realtors or not, I am still a real estate agent and I can sell real estate legally in Massachusetts. What NAR is, National Association of Realtors, is just that. It's an association, and we are able to say that we are realtors when we put, you know, when we become part of that association. So every single agent that says that they're a realtor, they are paying their dues every year to the National Association, the State Association, which is MAR, Massachusetts Association of Realtors, and their local board. So I'm part of several local boards because I'm a broker, and I choose to do that. So I'm part of the South Shore Realtors. I am part of the Greater Boston. I'm part of Cape Cod. So they're all boards. This lawsuit is against NAR, National Association of Realtors. And what people don't know, real estate agents have been talking about this, is the word like ad nauseum? We have not stopped talking about it. And I am so proud to say that in our office, we have been talking about it for 5 weeks. Yeah. So our agents are very well
even
prepared.
Even before, like, yeah, anything was said that there were going to be changes, which is weird. It's like almost like we predicted.
It's almost like we knew. Yeah. It's like we had inside trading or something, but we did not. We were not standardizing commissions and we didn't have any inside trading. So with that, we just had week five of talking about it. That's been 3 weeks, I think, since the settlement. And the settlement hasn't been accepted by, you know, the judges yet. The DOJ potentially will be getting involved and, you know, maybe putting their voice into it as well. So saying they want to decouple the commissions. Okay, so week one, we basically talked about what is a real estate agent? What is a realtor? How did we get where we are?
Yeah.
We are where we are because a lawsuit started against NAR, and it started with an attorney, and it was in Missouri. Okay. So I will confidently say that it had nothing to do with Massachusetts. I am confident in saying that our forms and our contracts that we get through MAR, which is Massachusetts Association of Realtors, we just use the standardized forms from them, are very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not so much in Missouri. So,
well, we don't live in Missouri.
Yeah, so in Missouri, not so much. And that's where the lawsuit began. So part two, is everybody on page with that? Everybody gets it?
Everybody.
I wish that we could have see people who are listening in their car saying, just sort of piping in. So that was, and again, if you want to talk about this, 781-837-4900. Okay, 781-837-4900. Or you can text me. You can actually text the radio studio, 781-837-4900, if you're feeling a little bashful this morning. Or you can text me directly. I have my phone up. Just sent Tim a picture of those beautiful donuts. 781.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
I wish I could just reach into the picture and pull one out. Oh, they look amazing.
I know. Oh. They still look so good.
Make sure you pre-order, folks. Like they said, they sell out quick. These are worth picking up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just based on looks alone,
I know. Tim, you're going to have to... Too bad you couldn't do the show from here. We'll have to get another producer next week, and you can do the show from here next week. Tim just says, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
The phone's ringing off the hook.
Hello? Where did he go?
Yeah.
I tried to call into the station, but no one picked up the phone.
Yeah. So, where was I? I get so distracted with donuts.
We're not Missouri.
We're not Missouri, basically. So, So, anyways... What else? Okay, so week two, we discussed how did we get here. So, I was saying you can text the studio, 781-837-4900. You can call into the studio. We would love to have conversations because I want to help answer questions that you as a home buyer or home seller may be confused about. You can text me as well, 781-294-4848 is my cell phone. So, part two, we talked about last week, and we had Tracy Grady with us. She's a full-time agent here, of course, for part of the Grady team with her husband, Jim. She was here. She's a wealth of knowledge, very, very smart agent, knows her stuff inside and out, and she was discussing it with us as well. So last week, what we discussed is, okay, so what happened? So what basically happened, and again, this is a shorter version just so we can get in today. Basically, in Missouri, the attorneys who were representing sellers, it's a class action suit, were saying, hey, I did not know that I was paying the buyer, the buyer's agent.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason or another, their forms were not clear about how their process works there. I will confidently say that that is not a situation with any of our clients, or I would say in Massachusetts for in general. I mean, I've been doing this for 21 years or more. Every company I've worked for, it's been similar. We did go through some changes at one time when there wasn't even really buyer agency. It wasn't like we had to, that was changed on our forms in 2005. So agency basically is, if I'm a buyer's agent, I represent the buyer. My fiduciary responsibility is to that person. If I am the seller's agent, it's, I represent the seller. My fiduciary responsibility is there. I feel like I'm talking a lot.
It's a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's all we've been talking about. So anyways, with that said, when we go into contract with a seller and they're listing their home, we would say, okay, Mr. Seller, this is the amount that we as my office that we charge in order to sell your home. It has always been negotiable. People have negotiated. In fact, in this office, we talked about this. We have done pro bono mm-hmm. in situations, right? Mm-hmm. For hardship situations. That in itself proves that it is negotiable.
Yeah.
Okay. I also want listeners to understand and consumers to understand and other agents to understand that, you know, there's a lot of, I'm listening to a lot of this. I've been listening to webinars. I have been listening to just all kinds of different vehicles about this topic. When it's negotiable for you as well, mm-hmm. as the agent.
Yeah.
So you have the right to sit there and say, hey, this is what I charge. And if the person that you're, you know, doing, you know, is interviewing you to list their home, if they say, no, I want to do it for this amount, you can say no.
Yeah.
Just because they're saying you have to make it negotiable. Yes, it is negotiable.
It's negotiable for both sides.
For both sides. And I think that that's getting lost a little bit,
yeah.
right? But I can't go to any of the other companies locally and say, hey, listen, this is where we stand, this is what it is, and that's where it stays. That's where antitrust gets in the way.
Yeah.
This is an antitrust violation. And it has to do with MLS. And that's another whole story. It's so confusing even for us because MLS PIN, which is our MLS, they actually settled their lawsuit about 6 months ago. So now when I am with the seller, I say, this is what how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to charge you this amount of that since I value, right? We got this out of our roundtable this week. It was really good. Since I value the buyer's agent so much in what they bring to the table with their client. Seller, you're paying me. In my contract, I'm letting you know what I'm going to do with my money.
Yeah.
Okay, you're giving me this amount. I'm letting you know that I'm going to give half of that. I'm just making up numbers or whatever, scenarios. I'm going to give half of that to a buyer's agent through MLS. My contract and agreement with MLS is I will cooperate with other agents. The problem is, and why one of the scenarios is in NAR, the settlement, is no longer will we be able to put that amount in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were saying is, like, MLS can no longer, and it's like, hey, if you don't share your commission, you can't be part of MLS.
Yeah.
So I sort of like that. It's take that away, right? You're, like, putting these standards on me. So that's how it would work. Mr. Seller, this is what I charge. you agree to that amount. I'm just letting you know I'm giving half of that to the buyer's agent. So then I put your listing in MLS, and there's a page, a part in there that says how much I, the broker, am going to pay the other company that is going to work with a buyer and bring them in. Mm-hmm. I value that role so much, I'm giving half of what you are giving me to that person.
Yeah.
So I think people get confused when they see how much a commission is and they're saying, oh, wow, well, why do you, you know, how do you get that much and why do you get that much? Yeah. Listen, the cost of doing business is real. Having insurance and having all the tools and the marketing and the professional photography, if you're doing it right. Hey, if you're an agent that just puts a sign out there, I would say you don't deserve it. But that is not what it is, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I'm literally on a roll.
I am on a roll. So with that, that's how that whole process worked, okay? Now the NAR settlement is saying you can no longer offer compensation through that vehicle, and that you, so now like I'm out of it. So like I'm not giving half of it away anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes in when you're hearing all these headlines. I'm just telling you the headlines. This is nothing that I'm saying, okay? No more standardized 6% commissions, CNN, right? Like no more, you know, you now can expect to pay half. New York Times. You now prices are going to drop because of this. Okay, it's a lot of misinformation.
Yeah.
The president of the United States gave misinformation about this. And again, we know he has people who writes for him. I don't want to get into politics, but somebody up at the top should have been a little bit better about giving him the accurate information. It's about time that we're now holding realtors to, you know, fair compensation and blah, 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 not standardizing compensation. We never did.
Yeah.
Never did.
Yeah.
I don't want the CIA down here if I say dummy.
Oh my God. I'm not getting political.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, but the other part of it is like, you can still offer compensation to a buyer's agent. Like, that's the misconception of like, no, you can't offer it. Like, there's no avenue. Like, it's just very black and white. It's really not. Like, you can still offer it. The thing that is changing is that we can't put on this website MLS pin what we're going to be compensating, what we have decided to compensate a buyer's agent. So it's always been negotiable, and now it really, sort of to the extreme, I guess, has to be negotiable because it's not put up front. Mm-hmm. It's not known knowledge of what it is that they're going
Which
to be.
Which to me is less transparent. So one of the reasons.
I think so too. Yeah. I think it makes it harder.
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, brought this to light as well, especially with the MLS PIN lawsuit, was, you know, buyers were suddenly feeling, our agents only showing me houses that are getting a higher percentage when they're the buyer's agent. Now, per your code of ethics, that you can't do that either. That's a violation of your code of ethics, okay? Do people do it? I don't know. I am confident that no one at Boston Connect Real Estate does that. And I'm confident that a lot of agents on the South Shore do not.
Yeah.
Right? I feel good about that. Could there be? I don't know. I'm not passing blame on anybody. Not my story, not my rodeo. I don't do that. So the thing is, they then said, okay, you can, now we want to know how much the buyers are getting paid. So the buyers are, then they put it out on like Zillow and Trulia and all the websites. You could see how much a buyer agent was getting paid. And here's the truth. It's so different now than it ever was. So I just don't know the people making these rules if they're just old and they don't know how it works now. Because if you're looking for a house, for the most part, you're finding it online and telling me as the agent what you want to see.
Yeah.
So what am I going to say? No, I'm not going to show you that house because they're offering a really reduced commission.
Yeah. I mean, I think I talked about this on Tuesday, maybe, with Kristen Howlett, who is a full-time realtor here at Boston Connect Real Estate as well. She joins us a lot on the show. And we were just talking about the role that a buyer's agent does have. And we were talking about how it's important to have the conversation with your buyer of, you know, what it is that they're looking for. But at the end of the day, and I use myself as an example, sometimes they don't buy what they're looking for.
You did not like raised ranches.
No. Like, sometimes they don't buy what they're looking for, especially in a market that has little inventory. You do have to expand your horizon. You do have to, like, you know, it's not just about budget. It's about, you know, the towns that you want to live in. For me, it really didn't matter. I just wanted to be somewhere on the South Shore, close to work. But, you know, some people, you know, school districts are important to them, you know, town politics are important to them, like whatever, close to the beach, something like that. But, you know, they don't always necessarily, like, it's the buyer's agent asking, okay, what is it that you're looking for? And, you know, at first you probably only show them the things that they think that that's exactly what they want. But then it starts to, like, the tides turn a little bit, and they're like, oh, well, you know,
maybe I do like that.
Maybe I would consider, you know, Pembroke. Maybe I would consider Marshfield, like, things like that. Like,
Well, and they were worried about being, you know, staring. And now the situation is nobody knows, like, not even the real estate agent, right? So that's how it all came about. So what ended up happening was in Missouri, and then with TRID, that happened in 2019, I believe, they had to have it separated on the CD. A CD is the closing disclosure. So when you purchase a house or sell a house, this is like the final, like, it's like a balance sheet, right? There's a seller side and a buyer side. Well, before it was, now remember, I went back, hey, Mr. Seller, the listing contract is between you and me, Boston Connect Real Estate, okay? Boston Connect, you're going to give this amount to Boston Connect Real Estate. What I do with it, really, I don't believe anybody needs to know, but for some reason or another, we tell them, okay? I'm giving half of this through MLS. I'm going to offer this to other agents at two and a half. Oh, I almost said it. See, it's very easy to say. It's very easy to say. So I'm going to offer a percentage to the other person, okay? So when you do that, you're paying me. So that HUD, what used to be a HUD, that CD, that closing disclosure should have said, Mr. Seller, after the transaction, out of the transaction money, the buyer, again, there's two schools of thoughts, the buyer gave the money. Yes, I know that. It is embedded, the cost is embedded in this transaction. They pay me that percentage. I then pay. So on that CD, it should have just said, seller owes Boston Connect Real Estate X amount. I'm going to just use round
apples.
I don't even have to say that. $20,000. Okay. There it is. $20,000. I didn't give you a sale price, so you can't figure out anything. So if they owe $20,000, then when I get that money at Boston Connect Real Estate, well, by I mean you, you then take that money and say, okay, we owe ABC Realty $10,000 because we said we would give them half. Now you have to put both on there. So now it says Boston Connect Real Estate, $10,000. ABC Realty, $10,000.
Yeah.
And that's where it got confusing, where the seller was then saying, hey, I didn't realize I was paying the buyer's agent. You weren't.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when that change happened, and you've said that for the past couple of weeks, like, that's when it was sort of, the thought process was, yes, that you were paying for a buyer's agent, a buyer's agent. But in the very, very, very beginning, before your house even goes on the market, it's explained to you, hey, this is what I think my value is. And I just want to let you know that I will be sharing that value that I value in myself with another agent because they are going to bring a willing and able buyer that we're going to work together and we're going to get you to the closing table.
On your behalf. And that's one of the things, too, is, you know, I think it's important because now sellers, this is what's going to happen. So here we are right at 8:30, right on track, right? 8:34. Where we are now and what does that mean? So with the lawsuit, there's a couple things. One is we can no longer put a compensation will no longer be in MLS. We will not know. Okay. Mm-hmm. We will not know. Right now you could put in zero if you want, right? But there will be no, the field won't exist anymore. Okay. So buyer's agents will never know if the seller is willing, still willing to compensate.
Yeah.
Does the seller still see the value in a buyer's agent and willing to compensate? Because you can. Don't get distracted by you can no longer pay them. That is untrue, okay? The weird part about this is, I just read, because I've been reading this over and over and over again. We can still we can cooperate with other agents, just not through MLS.
Yeah.
So I could still charge the seller the same amount and still say to a buyer's agent in the brokerage, you know what, I can still share what I have. I can do that.
Yeah.
The problem is with the headlines and the way that things are going, I think a lot of sellers are saying, well, why would I give away more if I don't have to?
Well, you're not. Yeah. This is what I value my, this is what I'm willing to charge, and I am offering this.
So the problem is, though, is that we're not going to see a lot of that.
Yeah.
We're
going to
see sellers that are saying, no, I only want to pay you. You're the only one that works for me. And I can understand that. So if the seller is now saying, okay, and I've always said, hey, this is what I'm willing to give a buyer's agent, half of my compensation that you're giving me. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I do value what they bring to the table as a buyer's agent. What I also value very much is the liability now lies on you, my friend, as the buyer's agent. It's no longer on us, right? So that's a really, really important part. And Sue Bollinger, full-time real estate agent here at Boston Connect Real Estate, brought that up in our roundtable the other day. I hope that sellers realize if you are not willing to compensate anymore, and again, the choice is yours. It's my job now to explain everything to you. I always did, but now it's different. But if we have these buyers that are unrepresented, and I'll get to the reason why that might happen, where's the liability fall?
Mm-hmm.
Is that on my E&O? Is it on the seller? Where is that going to fall?
Yeah. I mean, as a listing agent, you're not going to take, if you're not representing the buyer, you're not going to take the hit if something happens.
Yeah. And if I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I think that, unfortunately, and I wish, just please, one listener, 781-837-4900, I want to know why there's such a stigma about real estate agents and realtors. And what is that stigma that we don't work hard? Because honestly, can you see the bags under my eyes? I'm exhausted. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work, and it's more work now than it ever has been.
And it doesn't stop either.
No, it doesn't stop. You know what I mean? And now it's more, because before it was, you know, I remember when I first started, right? It was the advertising was in the Ledger or a local newspaper, which no longer exists. And the amount of marketing that you got was, hey, my house is in the, can I get in the ad? I mean, it was people clawing at each other to the manager, please, I have this new listing. My client really wants to be in the paper. Will you please put mine in? Well, we only have 6 spots, so this is where we're going to, yours will be next week. That was the only, now it's, okay, the marketing, the advertising, the promoting, the social media, the radio show, just everything that goes along with it is a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, nice job yesterday. I loved that ad that you did yesterday on Instagram.
Thank you.
Go on to Instagram, people. It's where Boston Connect Real Estate on Instagram. And Melissa did this great. I think it's on Facebook, too. So
yeah.
Boston Connect Real Estate. She did this great. We have 9 new listings in our office this week.
Yeah.
And Melissa did this beautiful, beautiful page for that, a beautiful piece on that. And it came out really, really nice. And we're going to talk about some of those listings in a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. And also Trish Flynn, who is part of Team Flynn, will be calling soon to sort of go over one of her new listings or their new listings. But I don't know.
Okay, so where we are. So now we cannot offer compensation through MLS. It will no longer be there. We've been hearing a lot of things out there, like people are being funny. No, and it's not funny. It's an antitrust violation, just so you know. But people are showing I'm just going to do this from now on. And they show a picture of the bedroom and they have the alarm clock on and it will say 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, so they're, know what I mean? Putting little puns.
They're called Easter eggs.
Easter eggs?
Yeah, Easter eggs. I don't know. Because they're hidden, but they're hidden in plain sight.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You can't do that. There are people who are saying, well, we're just going to create our own Facebook group, a closed group, and we're going to let everybody in there know. I'm telling you right now, none of my agents at Boston Connect better be part of that or they will be asked to leave, because that is an antitrust violation, period, amen. And we have a caller.
Yes, it's one of your very own, the lovely Trish Flynn in Bridgewater.
Oh, Trish Flynn in Bridgewater. Hello, Trish Flynn.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are
Good
you?
Morning.
Were your ears ringing? Because we just said your name.
Did you? I was having technical difficulties trying to get my my car to call through to you. So I did not hear that, but I did hear you talking about the nice post you did for all of our listings. Like, we're all working hard to get some inventory.
Didn't yes, that look you beautiful? Are. That came out so beautiful, didn't it?
It did. It's awesome. Nine new listings.
And your team has two new listings, but I know you're calling about one of the open houses that you're doing today, correct?
Yes, I have two open houses this weekend. I had one last night at 295 Carriage Hill Drive in Raynham, and we were so busy. It was
good.
Awesome. And I'll be there again on Sunday from 12 to 2. And I am now heading to go pick up my balloons for my open house in Millis at 53 Union Street. It's a 3-bed, 1.5-bath, 1,500 square feet. Really, really nice, well-maintained home. My house in Raynham is pristine, awesome, cul-de-sac. Very excited. Lots of neighbors came through. I think the buyer did come through, so it's exciting amid all the controversy within our industry right now.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, yeah. This is the third time we've done a show on this, but I mean, I was looking at the pictures of both of your new listings. They look so great, and the Raynham house. I'm so glad that you had a lot of great people come through last night. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good when neighbors come by because they can see your value too as a listing agent, and they can see what you're doing for their neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of them was actually an agent, so it was funny. But yeah, Nick's actually, our people who are selling the home in Millis, they're actually looking at two houses today and speaking about the commission. One of the sellers is offering us $1, which is like, that's just insulting.
So yeah, so here we go. It's starting already. Right? Yeah.
That's like a tip for somebody getting me a drink at the bar. You know.
Yeah.
And I know some people wouldn't even just tip $1 for that. So it's just kind of like.
Trish,
a little like,
can I tell you there are times when I go through Dunkin' Donuts, I leave them $1 because I, you know what I mean? Hey, they're in there, they're working hard, I'll give them $1. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now is where the struggle comes in. I just want to let, you know, all of our listeners know, Trish has been with me since day one. Trish used to babysit my girls. I've watched her grow as a wonderful human. I've watched her family grow. And, you know, she's a great mom. She's such a great agent. And one of the struggles, and we brought this up every Tuesday, we've been talking, and Trish has been very vocal about this, and through the whole process, we are not concerned at Boston Connect Real Estate, like, you know, hey, we just talked about, like, how are we going to get paid? That isn't even what Trish's, like, upset is. It's just that the ways in which, and that's what I'm going to be getting into in the next 15 minutes, the way to which we get paid as buyer's agents could potentially interfere with our clients getting the house. And that's where we become very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's been Trish. That's, and I mentioned that on Tuesday, like, as the broker, as like someone who considers you a friend and honestly like almost like a daughter, you know what I mean? She's been with me for so long in my life since you were what, 17, that I'm just proud of. I can see your frustration, but I love where that frustration is coming from because it isn't coming to you because of your bottom dollar. It's because of your clients.
Right. It's putting the buyers like so just in a tough spot. Like I just set up an appointment for some new VA buyers and it's just like they, you know, it's an uphill battle and it's just for them already. And now it's just going to be even harder.
And that's what I'm going to talk about. And Trish, I don't know if you've seen the donut truck that's out there, but it's called Hardly Saints Donuts. And he is a vet. He was in the Army, and he was in one of the wars. So he might have been with Nick wherever in the Gulf, right? That's where Nick was?
He was in Iraq.
Iraq. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah. Trisha's husband is, you know, was once and always a Marine. And, yep. you know, Trish was with him through all of that. And I'm going to start crying because this is what is bothering me so much because, you know, people like Nick, people like the man who's out there selling donuts right now, just trying to make a living and trying yep. to do the best thing for his family. Like you, yep. you get these benefits and you get this awesome VA loan. Unfortunately, part of that loan says the veteran cannot pay anybody anything outside of it, including a termite right. inspection, right?
Inspection, yep.
So how yep. are veterans going to be able to pay buyer's agents if they are not allowed to do that? What? How? How is that exactly. going to happen? And I need to know, Mr. President, how that's going to happen.
Yes.
I hope the president's right. listening right now. You know for sure the FBI, somebody's coming down here and they're taking me away in handcuffs. I just want some answers.
No. Right, exactly.
Melissa's like, I'm not part of this conversation.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
it is. It's wild.
Yep.
And all right. Yeah, well, I just feel for everybody. But I'm going to run in and get my balloons and put my happy face on for all my...
Perfect.
Yes, that come through my open house today.
Tell everybody again where your listing is, where the open house is, and how they can get in touch with you personally if they want a private showing.
Sure. 295 Carriage Hill Drive in Raynham. That open house will be Sunday from 12 to 2. And then I'm heading up to Millis right now. That is 53 Union Street in Millis, and that is from 10 to 12 today. And if you'd like a private showing, give me a buzz at 781-223-3286.
Give that number one more time, Trish.
781-223-3286.
Awesome.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Trish, and good luck to you guys this weekend.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And we'll be around all weekend if you need us for anything, so lean in.
Thank you. Take care, ladies.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sharon, before you go forward, I just, we had a caller waiting, but it didn't wait quite long enough. Susan in Wareham, please call back. They'd love to hear your comments. 781-837-4900.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Susan. Yeah, from Wareham, please call. I love Wareham. That's where we keep our boat at Zecco. Yeah, Mark is down at Zecco right now getting the boat prepared and ready to put in the water.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, also, we forgot to say this at the beginning of the show. Good morning, Nanu. We love you.
Yes. Good morning, Francois.
Francois, to you and all of your friends over at Wingate Silver Lake in Kingston. So just wanted to say good morning, Dad. I love you. Okay. So Trish brought up, I'm going to get right into it. So quick recap, what's going to change? We can no longer put anything in MLS. You cannot create, I'm going to create this app and people are going to be able to put like what they're getting for compensation in there. Can't do it, okay? The only place where you would be able to put that compensation, if your seller is still willing to do it, is on your own website, okay? The other thing is you, and this is the part that sort of like I am struggling with a little bit, because the National Association of Realtors is saying, again, if the judges approve this, what is it, the $418 million settlement, we as buyer's agents will be required to have a buyer agent agreement signed with every buyer that we are working with. I've been doing this for 21 years. I have never used a buyer agency agreement. I work with a handful of buyers at a time. It's a lot of work. I've always been a very strong listing agent, and I'm also the broker of a company where I'm doing other things as well. So basically, if you are a buyer out there, be prepared that this form is going to be put in front of you to basically commit you to working with a buyer's agent. I think that contracts are good, by the way, but I think that they should be mutually agreed upon and not like forced upon.
Yeah.
So you will be asked to sign that. And in that, the buyer's agent will have to put in, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, hey, let's just do a little role play. You're buying a house.
Hi.
Okay. Hey, Mel.
Hey.
I'm so happy that you chose me to be your buyer's agent.
Yes.
Because of this, you know, lawsuit, one of the settlement requirements and conditions is that every buyer has to sign a buyer agency agreement before I can really get into showing you homes and doing anything like that. So this is the form right here. Basically, what it says is, you know, sellers right now, they don't have to. Well, they really never had to. I mean, the contract was really between them and the listing agent, but
we have a phone call.
Yes, we do. We have Charles in Pembroke.
Charles in Pembroke. Hello, Charles.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I always thought the buyer's broker. I'll just jump right in. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Let's get right to it.
I always thought the buyer's broker should just be paid for by the buyer. And my argument is, especially with this, where there might be 0% for the buyer and could be 3%. If you get two houses, you know, valued at exactly the same, you know, from a buyer's perspective, your buyer's broker is going to have to call and say, oh, what's the percentage commission on this one? If it's zero to the buyer, then the buyer's going to have to pay that to their broker. But if it's, you know, if it's 3%, then they don't have to pay it. And it just doesn't, it's not a level playing field anymore in terms of, like, as a buyer's perspective. So, you know, to me, it's like the buyer's broker should, you know, show their value and get paid directly by the buyer. And it just takes the whole issue off the table about what the sellers have to do.
Yeah, so that is exactly what they're saying. So what they're doing is decoupling the commission. So it's basically saying the buyer is paying the buyer's agent, the seller is paying the seller's agent. The argument out there is previously, if you were the seller, I would say to you, this is the amount that I charge. And you would say, okay. And then that amount came to me. And I always would say, and in our forms, it was very clear, hey, whoever comes to me, it was like through MLS that we had to do this. If we wanted to put your house in MLS, the rules of MLS stated, if you're going to put your house here, then you have to be willing to pay buyer's agents. So it really never came out of the seller. It was coming out of the listing agent. Okay. Yes, you can argue that the seller was paying more, but the buyer is arguing that they're the ones that brought the money to the table anyways, right? So that's the part that's missing now. It's like no longer going through me. So now I, as the listing agent, are going to say, hey, I'm still getting paid the same amount that I was in all reality. I'm not splitting that with anybody anymore. Now it's going to be up to the buyer's agent to negotiate how they're going to get paid. And again, on the surface, it looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. So I just want to say, I forgot what your first name was already. Charles, right?
Charles.
So when you bought your home, you didn't have to pay your buyer's agent because that amount was already sort of embedded in the sale price.
Yeah, the purchase.
The purchase price. And then the seller of that person paid their agent, the listing agent, and then the listing agent paid whatever that was to the buyer's agent. Now, if you're only paying me half as a listing agent, let's just say that that buyer doesn't have any liquidity because they, you know, they've saved maybe, you know, I'm thinking about first-time home buyers, right? They saved, they have to put that money towards their loan, right? So they have to do 5%. They have to have closing costs. There's just going to be a group of people that are not going to be able to pay a buyer's agent. And this is where my fear comes in. There will be a group of people who can. But I also want to know how many of those buyer's agents, is it going to affect the sellers anyways? So let's just say someone has their house on the market for $500,000. That's what they're expecting, right, to get. And again, the market is crazy. Let's just keep that part out of it, that they would probably get more. It's on for $500,000. Now the buyer is saying, all right, well, if they're not paying my buyer's agent, I'm only going to give them $490 because I owe my buyer's agent $10,000.
Yeah, the difference is that now it's coming out of pocket. It's not being sort of financed.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not being in the purchase price, which ultimately is financing it. So it's you have to pay out of pocket for the compensation as a buyer.
Yeah. And then what they will allow is the seller. So what we're going to see, and this is where, Charles, where it's getting a little messy for us, is as buyer's agents, there's a new form. It's MAR 310, and it's an addendum to the offer. And it basically says, from the buyer, Mr. Seller, I, as the buyer, am requesting that you give a concession or that you pay my buyer's agent through this sale. Well, everybody, every agent will have a different price, right? So where is the value? It's just a race to the bottom at that point. But let's just say you had 10 offers on your house, Charles. You're worried about your net, and you should be. As your listing agent, that's my worry too, because my fiduciary responsibility is to you. Now you're choosing the buyer based on what your net is. But so now this is where the buyers are at a disadvantage, because if they can't afford to have their down payment, to have their closing costs, and to pay their agent, they're not going to be able to buy a house. You can't finance it. Fannie and Freddie have already said there is no way to put that in there to finance this amount. So what if it's $10,000? And again, everybody thinks, oh, they get $10,000. No, it goes to the brokerage. The brokerage does their split. There's costs associated with business, right? The other thing is veterans. Veterans can't pay anything. So how will that work? So you can no longer use your VA loan because you cannot pay anybody out of pocket for anything. And that's even as simple as a termite inspection. Does that make a little more sense about where it's going?
Oh, no, I get that. For me, it's like you said, it's the net, right? So if I'm selling a $500,000 house and there's a 5% commission, I expect to walk away to sell my house for $475. Mm-hmm. So if that doesn't, if the percentages are different, it's like, oh, my seller agent's like, well, we're not going to list it for 500. It doesn't sell for 500. It sells for 487, 500, and I take 3% off. I still get my 475, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing is, how do you level the playing field with two houses with the exact same price, or listing price at least, to come out at the same for both if one of them is sharing the commission with the buyer and the other one isn't? It's just mm-hmm. not, and I get the whole financing part. I absolutely do. But it just makes it more difficult for the buyers, because now they're going to have their buyer broker call the agent and say, the selling agent, mm-hmm. and say, what's the share, right?
Yeah.
And because that's going to dictate how much they can offer, maybe, or even which house they want. But mm-hmm. even though they have the exact same list price and the exact same house, it just confuses everything. So I agree with you guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. But do you agree or do you not agree? Because do you agree, like you said, hey, buyer's agents should be paid by the buyer?
Well, to me, that's the other. There's another factor there is the buyer's agents. If it's a percentage, there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there, because now the more I pay for the house as a person, mm-hmm. I'm paying more, or me or the seller, mm-hmm. It's paying more of a percentage, and it seems to not. I can only imagine you guys have two different scenarios. You have somebody who comes in, maybe wants to buy a $1 million house, already did all their homework, they figure out the house by looking online. They come to you and it's just like, we want to put an offer in. The offer gets accepted and you guys just move forward. And you could have somebody else who buys a $200,000 house, mm-hmm. and goes to 50 showings for it. You know, mm-hmm. the amount of effort is completely different, and it mm-hmm. has nothing to do with the price. So mm-hmm. how do you, I feel like there's got to be from the seller's perspective, do the 3%, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But from a buyer's perspective, I feel like there's got to be some different mechanism. Mm-hmm. To charge people, to charge the buyers, because the services can be completely different, mm-hmm. right? And it has nothing to do with the value of the house. So
yeah, and I do agree with that, and we say that around here a lot. I mean, sometimes it's more difficult to be with a buyer that's even in that 300 or 400 price range, because you're out with them. One of my agents, Jess Page, she's full time realtor here at Boston Connect Real Estate. She's been out for 18 months. It's a lot of work, and you're putting in offers, and they're not getting accepted. And one of the things where I feel like I'm so passionate about this too is, like, I feel as if this is putting the buyers at even a bigger disadvantage, to be quite honest with you, because what's going to happen is buyer's agents are going to say, hey, listen, I understand that you can't pay me, but I also can't work for free. And you know what? I don't want my agents working for free, right? We have had a couple, situations where it's a hardship situation. And I say, as a broker, don't charge them anything, right? It's a hardship. It's a true hardship, but in this situation, it's not going to be that way. I don't expect my agents to work for free. So it's going to be interesting, and I feel bad for the buyers right now. I want it to be fair for them. Charles, I appreciate your call and your insight.
No problem.
Thank you. Have such a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
So you can hear our music. We have a lot of open houses this weekend,
and you can
find them on Boston Connect somewhere, right?
Yep, bostonconnect.com. Follow us on social media, Boston Connect Real Estate, on every platform.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a bunch of open houses this weekend. I think we have 12 or so.
12 open houses,
throughout the office.
Yep. So. And if you have any questions about this topic, feel free to call me directly, 781-294-4848. I'm happy to have a full conversation with you. And Tim, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, ladies.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. I'm going to go eat my donut.
Yeah.
Neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most.